EPL is.
Back for more.
It's the 2019-2020 season preview. Oh, on Caught Offside.
Oh, yes! Caught Offside from the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Andrew Gundling and J.J. Devaney. It feels like it was just here, and now it's back. The EPL previews. What's up, brother?
Oh, man, I'll tell you. The appetite has been whetted with that Charity Shield game. Of course, it's the Community Shield, but I will be proper football man on that term. And I am so excited about these previews. I'm so excited about the new season. Friday, Andrew. Friday.
So here's the deal for all of our kind of newer listeners to the program. First of all, welcome. Where have you been?
But
thank
welcome
you for being here. So we're going to be, as we do pretty much every year, we have a three-part series to get you ready for the start of the upcoming Premier League season. You are listening, of course, to part one right now. We're going to speak with Ian Dark in just a few moments, one of our favorite guys to catch up with. Usually we'll chat, you know, once or twice a year and kind of just like catch up on the state of things. So what better time to talk with really a legend of the industry than now as we get ready for the season. So that will be what you're listening to now. Over the next couple days, we're going to have for you what we did last year, which was fun. It's 20 questions, basically, just pertaining to anything you could really think of heading into the season. A lot of podcasts, and I don't mean to criticize what other people do. Everything, there's a place for every kind of podcast.
Yeah.
But we feel a lot of other podcasts kind of have covered the team-by-team preview.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So we feel like 20 questions is just like a smattering of all things. So you don't really know from question to question what you're going to be hearing. Some people sometimes I feel like feel excluded. Oh, they're talking about just, you know, Manchester United right now. So I'll just
skip.
Like, right. So the 20 questions we found works for us because it's very unpredictable and it's fun.
And it gives you a smorgasbord of possible answers about teams. You also, you have to realize that our podcast, as much as it's anchored around the fact we are Premier League supporters and fans, we do want to talk about the league as a whole. And so this gives us an opportunity to do that. Could you imagine how unbalanced it would be if we did it team by team?
Yeah.
There would have to be part one and part two would be Spurs and Liverpool alone. It just wouldn't work.
How dare you? Those two clubs are rarely mentioned, if ever, on this podcast. and then part three is really for you. That is our mailbag special slash prediction special.
Yes.
So the first half of that podcast is you tweeting us or Insta-ing us.
Oh, you're so hip. You know all the terms.
Is that what they refer to it? I'm going to Insta-ing hit them.
No, they're going to hit us up on the gram.
Oh.
Why must I be the cool
that
one?
That could mean graham cracker. There can be no way of knowing. So send us your questions, your thoughts, anything that you can think of that you want to hear us talk about before the season actually begins. And do us a favor. Give it the hashtag COEPL.
Yes, COEPL.
As in caught offside, not
Copal.
Right. Easily confusable. So yeah, hashtag COEPL, and then whatever your question or your comment is heading into the season. So we'll get through as many of those in our fan mailbag as we possibly can before the season. Then we'll give our predictions at the end, which you despise. I'm neutral on because I just assume everyone will forget it as soon as they've heard it. And we can only mention it again at the end of the season if we found ourselves to be right on many things.
Yeah, predictions at this time of the year are so weird, but I do feel a bit more confident about the shape of things.
I agree, actually.
Yeah.
Which in some ways worries me. Like,
where's the curveball coming from?
It can't be this clear cut and straightforward. One thing that does make the predictions a little bit easier. Now, granted, we will be doing that on Wednesday.
Yes.
But with the transfer window closing prior to the season beginning, you do have a better sense of what teams are going to look like.
Yes, you do. And there's not that sense of, oh, well, this could change and that could change. You're not putting in as many caveats. It's closed. It's shut. This is what you got until January. And that does help things in terms of predictions a little bit. Also, I think yesterday, in terms of the Community Shield, we saw that the intense rivalry between City and Liverpool now extends into all games. There is no off ramp. There is no off switch. There is no alternative. They are going hell for leather against each other. I mean, that is usually a rubbish game. That is usually
the Community Shield.
Yeah, unless you're talking, I mean, the last, I'm sure there've been good ones and people will ram it down my throat. Now, don't you remember this one? Well, no, frankly. I would say, Andrew, actually the last few years I haven't watched, or I've watched just the highlights. But I remember, I think it was 92, there was like Leeds 5, Liverpool 4 or something like that. But that's the last one I really remember. This one was enthralling. Like, there was things that mattered. From, you know, Salah Salah straight away, I need to get off the mark, hitting the post and then taking multiple shots. And then you see Kyle Walker with one of the most wonderful pieces of acrobatics to keep Mo Salah out. That was unbelievable play. Every fiber of his being went into stretching to make sure that didn't go over the line. And you had to check yourself and say, this isn't the Champions League or it isn't the Premier League. This is the first game of the season in the Charity Shield.
You have been very, like mid-season form. What was it you tweeted? There was a Liverpool game where I don't usually tweet very often, but you had a tweet that it just bothered me so much.
Oh, really?
I had to go
on.
Yeah, it was when Mignolet, I guess, made a mistake, who, by the way, is on his way to Club Bruges. I was just reading.
Yeah, which we've got to factor in what this means for Ethan Horvath.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, but you had some tweet where he made a mistake.
At Sporting Lisbon.
And you had a whole long tweet about
it. Wasn't even a long tweet. It was three
very
sentences.
Lengthy, but it spanned multiple tweets.
It had a couple of words that were, you know.
But you said, there are moments in which I think about life.
No.
And hope escapes
again,
me when I see such buffoonery out on the pitch. And I said to you, my God, it's
no.
A preseason friendly. Like, can you just, like, ease up?
I'm going to try and remember what it was because you are just, like, butchering this. I think I said it only takes a howler from Mignolet to make you realize that life is ultimately futile and a buffer between two, or joy is ultimately futile and just a buffer between two large periods of darkness.
By the way, that is worse than what I was just saying. Thank you for helping me.
Yeah. And I mean, I was just being overly dramatic for comic effect, but it passed you by. And you got straight into it. Oh, suck it up, Nancy. It's just preseason.
I didn't say any of those words. But yeah, so Mignolet, not that it really matters. He's on his way to Club Bruges. I guess it's funny with the Community Shield. I know you want to ask Ian Dark about this, and we'll get to him in just a couple moments. But, you know, what we've seen now between Liverpool and Manchester City, dating back to the Champions League a couple years ago, the incredible title race between the two last season. I mean, neither one is obviously the other's natural rival.
No.
But it's almost getting to a point now where, like, this gap that I still feel is there between those two and the rest, where if you ask me, like, what's the biggest rivalry in this league right now, I almost feel compelled to say that.
It's beginning to get there, and I think the Champions League encounter on Liverpool's journey to Kiev, the quarterfinal, I believe it was, that really heightened things. That kind of gave it this sense of a rivalry that we could go back and say, well, it's a bit like Fergie and Wenger, or it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's in that wheelhouse. And then last season, because obviously Liverpool were nowhere in the league in that first season, it was the Champions League, but it all kind of, the gestation of that happened in that season. And then last season, the fact that Liverpool seemed to be the only one that could get anywhere close to City, and you had this race down the stretch, has just heightened this whole thing. Now, for it to be like Wenger and Fergie, we're going to need another couple of seasons of this. And
correct.
That in the modern game is hard to kind of replicate. It's very difficult now for teams to go on these long stretches of dominance, certainly not in England anymore.
Yeah, but the one thing that I think could help sustain it, and these situations are always fluid, but at least the way that it appears right now, I've always found interesting, probably with a greater respect to Liverpool, because they don't necessarily have the same kind of money backing that Manchester City has.
Sorry. They have nothing compared to the money backing.
It's similar, but not quite the same.
You have to overstate that, because we had Pep in the week getting upset about a perfectly fair comment by Jurgen Klopp.
But what I was saying,
sorry,
before your Liverpool underwear kind of escaped out of the sides of your jeans over there.
Not wearing jeans, but go on.
Dungarees or whatever you would refer
sure,
to those
as. Sure, Dexy's Midnight Runners. Yeah.
These clubs aren't losing anyone. Like, I feel like if Liverpool was having this kind of run of success a few years ago, which, by the way, they were, and what happened? They lost Luis Suarez. They lost Raheem Sterling to their rival in Manchester City, which is kind of shaping somewhat the way that the order of those two clubs appear right now. You know, that doesn't appear to be the case. Like, Liverpool are low. I've said this before, but it is beyond me that no one is coming for Robertson or Alexander-Arnold or Mane.
But
like, they are sustained, and it doesn't appear that they're going anywhere.
But
why is that? But of course, though.
They're at the European Champions. The money in the Premier League now means that, you know, like, down the line, I would expect that Firmino, it's what Brazilians do. He'll probably want to end up in one of the Spanish big two, something that, like
that's
that.
The thing, but though, it's not like Real Madrid and Barcelona used to just snatch guys regardless of what money,
Andrew,
the prestige of those clubs was snatching guys away from other EPL sides. With those two teams,
Andrew,
it's not happening.
That was two title races Liverpool have had since they last won. Two sustained ones. Well, three now considering last season, but two. Like, that 13-14 season under Rodgers was a general aberration for their, it was a diversion from the mean from where they usually finished with him. And so Suarez was always going to go. They'd struggled to hold on to him. There was no sustainability to what Liverpool were doing. But like Klopp said now, they keep the players now. Like, just like you've pointed out. And why do they keep them? Because Liverpool can now fulfill their ambitions. You're in European Cup finals. You're in title races.
Well, here's the only thing that I would say to that. And you're right. They were in the Champions League final 2 years ago, but you talk about the aberration of what happened under Brendan Rodgers. Well, let's,
like,
it's easy to forget this because of what we were thinking of Liverpool at the time and because they did get to the European Cup final, but they did finish fourth in the league. Like, it's not crazy to look at that in a vacuum and say, well, you know, this, like, it's reasonable for Salah to leave and then go to a Real Madrid, a side that, you know, could contend for titles immediately. Like, I think it's different with Liverpool because Klopp, you felt, was building something and these players want to continue to be part of that.
That's absolutely what it is. There is a momentum going forward. There is a feeling that the club is heading in the right direction. And there's also the feeling that you want to be a part of it. There's also the reality of football now, and they'll have seen it with their former colleague, Felipe Coutinho, that if you go to these clubs, even if you come with this massive reputation, there's no guarantees it's going to work out well.
The grass is not always greener.
No.
Yeah, and the grass is pretty green at Anfield right now. There's no question about that. One other thing before we get to Ian Dark that I want to mention, keep your help of fans coming. If you do not have a Premier League club and you would like to, you want this to be the season where you really dive in, where you really are invested in one team in particular and you can buy the gear and watch the YouTube videos of their history and all that and wake up early on Saturdays and Sundays to watch them, support them, be a part of a community for that club here in the U.S. We are here to help you up on our Twitter page.
And Instagram.
At CO Soccer Pod on Twitter and Caught Offside ESPN on Instagram. Pinned on those pages is a questionnaire, 10 questions. Look it over, fill it out as a review, as a podcast review for wherever it is that you are able to review podcasts from. And then in that review, make sure you include either a Twitter handle or an Instagram handle for us to get back to. We used to do a full podcast where we would give teams out, and it's just no longer sustainable model for us.
Also, if you give us your handle on Twitter and you're not following us, or you have private settings on, that means we can't tweet to you. Maybe reconsider that, because, or give us something else, because it's very hard. Don't email us either. A couple of people emailed us and DM'd us their answers. Not how it works. Has to be as an iTunes review.
Don't you see what we're doing, people? We need iTunes reviews because they help the availability, I guess, or not availability.
The visibility.
The visibility of the podcast for a lot of people. And we are doing it through Instagram and Twitter because we want more people to follow us on social media. Can't you all see what's happening here? There's a reason for all of this.
It's a ploy.
And the last bit on that, actually, some people, we started to get some of your help of fans in. And one of the questions is, what teams do you currently support? Some people are saying Arsenal. Well, then that's your team. Like, that question is meant to say, like, me, personally, I support the Eagles, the Sixers, the Phillies, you know, teams like that. So we use that as somewhat of a gauge as to maybe teams that align with that in the Premier League. But if your answer is Arsenal, well, then you've done the work for us. That's your team. So just know that. One other thing we should say also, we're recording this, it's before 11 a.m. It's still early, somewhat early here in the East Coast in the U.S. The Harry Maguire news just became official. So after all this back and forth, is he, isn't he? He is. He is going to Manchester United. They do have a new starting center half. It's an incredible amount of money. It's the new world record fee for a defensive player. It's more than what Liverpool paid for Virgil van Dijk. I don't know at this point if I would say Harry Maguire is in Virgil van Dijk's class. Now,
I would think not.
Right. Now, I don't want to step too much on our 20 questions from tomorrow because I'm guessing stuff like this is going to come up. But I don't know. I'm curious how you feel about that move, because I do believe it's a bit unfair to just simply look at it and say, oh, he costs more than Van Dijk, therefore it is a bad signing. Well, okay, maybe like the money is a bit of a problem, but does it make Manchester United a better team today than they were yesterday?
Yes, I would think so. It's an area of need that needed to be addressed. And look, they're paying this luxury tax because they're Manchester United and because teams are going to hold their feet to the fire. They know the wages they pay. They know this, the transfer fees they're willing to pay.
And their desperation.
And they know the levels of desperation they have. Now, what needs to happen at United is some players need to go. This is, there's 3 days left and there needs to be significant movement. Some players have to go. They need it, probably another defensive centre mid. I mean, this is one piece that has taken this long to get done. That would be, he's a good player. He's a player United need. I think he can be successful at Manchester United, but they need more than that. And yeah, the fact it took this long is going to be very, very disappointing.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Ian Dark, which I can't wait for because I just love catching up with him. I love getting his perspective on this. I do want to say also, before we go to break, can anyone hear this?
Oh, my God.
Now, maybe we're just, maybe no one knows what we're talking about, but there is some kind of construction going on outside
of the
studio.
It's so annoying, right? I cannot.
And there is, like, there is a drilling noise. I feel like they're going to break through the wall.
Have you seen Die Hard with a Vengeance?
No.
So in Die Hard with a Vengeance, when they bury into the Federal Reserve, there's a huge drill. And it was quieter than the drilling that's going on right now. This is so irritating.
It was very funny because your reaction when we came in here to start recording, what was it you said? This is completely inappropriate behavior.
Yeah.
Look, it's annoying, but I don't know, they're doing something for a reason, I would hope.
It's probably a rival podcast.
Their behavior is, this is out of line, this behavior.
Yeah.
Who do you think we are? You know, if we say, hey, Caught Offside is recording their first part of their EPL preview.
Yo, buddy, I don't care about the EPL. I watch Bundesliga myself. I'm just going to keep drilling, okay?
You think that's what's going on?
Yep.
I see. Very quick break. When we come back, Ian Dark on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Oh, back now on Caught Offside. This is one of my favorite conversations that we have each year. One of our favorite people in this entire industry. He's one of the greats of the industry. You've heard him for many years here in the U.S. He's been on the call of so many signature moments in American soccer. And, of course, he's been on even more, much higher number of signature moments in English football. JJ, what a pleasure. It is the one and only Ian Dark on the line with us now. Ian, how are you?
Very well indeed. Hi, nice to speak to you.
So we wanted to start, I guess, just like before we even dive into the kind of nuts and bolts of the season, you've been at this for a while. You've called World Cups. You were there for Aguero's goal against QPR. I mean, you've seen a lot of big moments in this sport. Do you still find yourself on the eve of a new season, like truly excited?
Yeah, absolutely. Even after all these years, still crazy after all these years. Yes, you're right. There's always an adrenaline rush, and there are always so many questions to be answered, always so much intrigue, and let's face it, plain excitement as well.
Ian, when you look at your schedule ahead for the season, is there a ground or a football club that you're particularly looking forward to visiting, or you see it on your list and you're like, I can't wait to be there?
Not particularly, no. I mean, I think it's well known I support a club that's playing in the third tier at the moment, Portsmouth, because I was born in that city. Yes. On the south coast of England. So it's always great to go there and basically be like a fan. But as a commentator, we tend to think professionally about it. Where is the best ground for travel, for best view of the game, for, let's be honest as well, being treated quite well.
Right.
And probably top of that list, I would say, for me, would be Arsenal, where the media facilities are very good, the commentary position is excellent. So, yeah, I mean, if there was such a list, and please don't anybody interpret this as any kind of bias, I'd say from just as working as a commentator, Arsenal would be up there.
I wasn't planning on asking you this, but while we're talking about stadiums, I'm curious, in the last few years, and we can even go back a little further to the Emirates replacing Highbury, you know, you've seen White Hart Lane replaced, you've seen, you know, West Ham move into the London Stadium, now there's Everton releasing their images of what their new Goodison would potentially look like. How do you feel about that? Is it like, is there some sort of nostalgia in seeing some of these old classic venues disappear, or do you see the excitement of some of these new, you know, incredible grounds popping up?
I think one or two of the new ones have been guilty of being soulless, but I think now, when new stadiums are being built, I think the owners of the clubs are pretty wary about making sure that it does have a certain stamp and feel around that club. So they try to customize the stadium to make it feel like a home ground from the word go. But yeah, I think one or two of the early new stadiums, maybe on the outskirts of towns, were a little bit soulless compared to those atmospheric stadiums that were right in the inner city, almost among the houses and back streets of those cities. But hey, look, the game moves on. We need all-seater stadium. We need comfort. And let's be honest, the surfaces that the players are now performing on are just fantastic. You know, so different from even 30, 40 years ago.
Ian, we had the curtain raiser to the season yesterday in the Community Shield. You had a front row seat for that great, intense Arsenal-Manchester United rivalry under Fergie and Wenger. Is the City-Liverpool rivalry beginning to take on some of that feel?
I think it is. I really do think it is. Talking to a fair few Liverpool fans on the road in Europe last year, they were really, really revved up about anything involving Manchester City. And I suspect it's the other way around with the City fans as well. So I think that's the rivalry for this age in this season and last season as well. But yeah, that United Arsenal one, that ran. And they swapped punches almost literally for a few years.
Ian, I wanted to ask you about what's topical this morning, and that is Manchester United having just made the announcement about signing Harry Maguire. That is now official. Are we looking at United with a markedly better squad than the one that finished sixth a year ago?
That's a defense, I think, because Aaron Wan-Bissaka is going to be at right back, and I think he's a good signing. He's fast. Not many wingers get the better of him. Maguire, I think, will be a popular figure at Manchester United. Okay, he's cost a lot of money, but he's a leader and he's a high-quality defender. So, you know, they let in more goals. I think they had the worst defense in the top nine last season, Manchester United. That had to stop. But I still think there are problems further forward. I think they needed to reinvigorate the squad in more forward areas. There's still the doubt about Pogba. There's still question marks against people like Martial. Okay, he had a great preseason by all accounts, but, you know, I don't know. It's not a situation, I think, at Manchester United where you think they're any kind of bankers for the top four. Far from it. I think they still have a battle on their hands to get back in that top four this season. And let's be honest about it, there still is a question mark about whether Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is indeed the right man for a club as big as that.
Well, let's talk about that. There's a general sense that, in terms of vulnerability, that the top or the established top six may have a threat from below in the like of a rejuvenated Everton, Leicester and Wolves. Do you see it that way? Is it possible, Ian, that somebody breaks into that upper echelon?
I think this is the best chance that those clubs who are kind of bubbling under the top six have got this season. The likes of Leicester City, although, of course, now they've lost Maguire. I think they're going to go and buy a defender probably for £40-50 million to replace him. Maybe somebody like Tarkovsky at Burnley, maybe somebody like Donk at Brighton. So you could see something like that happening. Leicester do look strong. Tielemans a very good signing. They've got him permanently. Now, I'm scratching my head and wondering why one of the big six clubs didn't go in for him. He was around. So Leicester, I think, are going to be a factor. Wolves have got the European distraction, or it looks like they're going to have. I think they will qualify for the Europa League, so that's a lot of extra fixtures. I'm not sure that they've strengthened their squad quite enough, to be honest with you. So I think they need more players to cope with all those extra fixtures. Everton, still question marks, and they have lost their tigerish midfield man, Idrissa Garner-Gay. I think he was a more important player, maybe, than they knew. Well, I think the fans knew. Let's see how they manage to cover for that this season. Although they do have the lad from Juventus, whose name I think is pronounced Moise Ken, I'm told. So he's exciting, and I'm sure he'll be a big cult figure with the fans. So those sort of clubs could break in this season. Maybe West Ham as well, who've made a couple of significant signings. So any slip up at all from the usual suspects in the top six, one of those might just nip in to the top six places.
Ian Dark, kind enough to join us here on our season preview on Caught Offside. Ian, you're talking about breaking through the barrier of the top six. Let's go back for a second, reference the two teams that JJ mentioned a few minutes ago, and that is the top two with City and Liverpool. I mean, the gap last year between second and third was massive. Do you see any reason why that could be kind of tightened up a little bit, or is there still a clear delineation between first and second and then the rest?
No, I think they'll be well clear again. I think it is between those two, and it might be for the next couple of seasons as well. You're right. The gap was huge, and I don't think enough has happened at the likes of Tottenham, Chelsea, Arsenal, Manchester United to see the gap really closing. I do think this season Liverpool will have the eye of the tiger. They're chasing the title. You do wonder if Manchester City's real aim would be to get the Champions League, because they haven't won that as yet. And I think if you gave the City fans a choice, they'd probably say, if you said to them, you can have the Champions League or the Premier League, I think they'd like to win the trophy. They haven't managed to win the Champions League. But whether Pep Guardiola sees it quite like that, because I thought that might be the case last season, but he had them fired up and pumped up the whole way, and what a season it was. 98 points playing 97. I did feel sorry for Liverpool getting that many points and not being champions, because that's never happened before. But City were just that bit better when it mattered in that key game.
Ian, can I just take you down the table again and to a controversial appointment? And I never thought the appointment of Steve Bruce to a Premier League job would be controversial, but the general opprobrium that's been heaped on him and Newcastle as a club, how do you see this season panning out for Newcastle? And do you think there's a danger that after so much progress under Rafa, they slip back into that danger zone where they're potentially relegation fodder?
Well, they bought this guy who plays in the Bundesliga, Joe Linton, for £40 million, but his goal-scoring record is not amazing, although he's a useful player. But they've lost Rondon, who did well up front for them last season. They've lost the clever support striker, Ayoze Perez, to Leicester City, and they're not doing that much in the transfer market. There's all the turmoil going on in the background, and then Steve Bruce, you're right, the fans not completely sold on that idea. Controversial, his move from Sheffield Wednesday. But the one thing about Steve, who is a decent bloke, is he loves Newcastle. He grew up supporting that club. He'll do everything he can, I think, to keep their heads above water. But looking at their squad, it doesn't look as good as last year's. And there is the question mark about whether Steve Bruce can do exactly what Rafa Benitez did, which was to keep them in the middle of the table. So Newcastle United, it'll be an interesting story to watch. They might struggle a bit.
Ian, I'm curious. A lot of American fans here, it won't surprise you, are curious to see how Christian Pulisic acclimates to Chelsea and to the Premier League. We treat him sometimes like he's our son. Like, we just want to make sure that everything is okay with him and how things are going in Europe. Do you sense that he's ready to, I mean, I don't want to overstate this, but at the price tag he went for, he's kind of the face of Chelsea. I mean, do you think he's ready for that kind of responsibility?
I think he's a very mature young man. I remember he's coped with quite a lot in his life already. He went to Germany not really being able to speak the language at a very young age and went in at the deep end at a big club like Borussia Dortmund. So I don't think he's your average, what is he, 21 or something like that now. I don't think he's your average young player like that. I think he is mentally attuned to it. I think he'll relish the challenge, but I do think it's going to be difficult at Chelsea because no Eden Hazard. Will the fans look at Pulisic and think he should be the man who comes in and takes Hazard's place and does what Hazard could do? Because not very many players could do that. But I think he's a good player. I just hope the expectation levels around him aren't too high. But I think he will, maybe after one or two teething troubles, he'll be okay at Chelsea.
Well, that is comforting to hear that, because you wouldn't believe the paternalistic take, Ian, that our listeners have on Christian Pulisic. Final one from me. The newly promoted teams, Ian, is it a case that it's going to be Norwich and Sheffield United in a kind of a battle to stay up, and that Villa, with the resources and the money they've spent, they'll be okay, or do you see some kind of surprise coming out of those teams?
Well, it always makes me laugh, and I do feel sorry for the clubs who come up, because within about 2 minutes of them being promoted, everybody's saying, oh, well, they'll go straight back down.
Yes, yes.
And they're raining on the parade, aren't they? Let's see how they get on, because I think in only one of the Premier League seasons played so far, and we've had 25, 26 years of it now, maybe a bit more than that, it's only happened once that all three of the clubs who came up went back down again, and quite a few of them have come up and surprised us along the way. So I've got a lot of regard for Chris Wilder, who's the Sheffield United manager. This is a guy who's paid his dues. He's managed in all four divisions and a few non-league ones as well, and he's quite an innovative coach who gets an awful lot out of his players. So you look at Sheffield United's squad and you might think they're not good enough to stay up. That may be right, but I think Chris Wilder might be able to work a little bit of magic there. Norwich City played some great stuff. They were surprise winners of the championship last season. Looking around their squad, not quite sure whether those players are going to be able to cut it in the Premier League. So I think it will be a struggle for them. Aston Villa have gone out and paid what? Let's try and translate it into dollars. About $180 million. Mm. They've almost got a new team there. Again, another manager who's paid his dues in the lower divisions, in Dean Smith. And he's a very good guy. And Villa are a big club who should be in the Premier League. I've got a feeling they'll do enough to stay in there. I'd be a little bit worried, you know, about the likes of Brighton this season with Graham Potter taking over. Everybody moaned about Chris Hughton and the football being a little bit cautious and negative, but he did the job of keeping him in the Premier League. Can Potter do that? It's a punt. I think they want to play a more attractive type of style, but they may be taking a few chances. So Brighton, I think, are a team who could be down there this season. And you wonder a little bit, too, about Bournemouth, who've, you know, they defied the odds and they've been a breath of fresh air, but they've been there a long time now, and I wonder whether maybe time just might catch up with them a little this season. Not saying they'll go down, I think they won't, but I think it might be harder for them.
Ian, in terms of talent, it feels like the league is in a really good place right now. There's so many great players, young players in this league. Do you have a particular player that you are kind of most excited about, that you enjoy kind of calling his games the most?
I'll tell you what. Funnily enough, this just sounds like name dropping, but when we went to the Europa League final, I catched a lift. I can put it no stronger, in a private jet with Cesc Fabregas.
What?
Would you believe? Who was working with us on the event? So he was going by a private jet with his agent, and somehow I got a ride anyway. So I got talking to him, and he said if there's one player he would buy in the Premier League, if he was a manager and would empty the bank account, it would be Sadio Mane of Liverpool. And he says he would be a great player for any big club in Europe. And I think that's probably right, because when you look at Mane now, he's got the lot, doesn't he? Speed, goals, trickery. He's even pretty good in the air as well. So that's one player I think we need to keep an eye on. I think it'll be great for Manchester City with Kevin De Bruyne back properly fit now. This could be a big year for him. I wonder whether he might get the Footballer of the Year award that he didn't get before. And I love that young player at Manchester City. I hope he does break through and plays regularly this season, Phil Foden, because I think he's going to be a big talent, not just for City, but for England too. And I think he'll be in the England squad for the European Championships next summer.
Ian, now you've piqued my curiosity. What kind of beverages were served on this private jet? Did yourself and Cesc have champagne together as you discussed great players? I'm absolutely curious about this now. Cup of tea?
He was talking about all kinds of things, including his departure from Chelsea. And the funny thing, I hope he wouldn't mind me making this a bit more public, he did say it with a bit of a smile at the end, was he said, I said to him, you're going to get a medal here because you played a few games for Chelsea in this competition. If they win it, you'll get the Europa League medal. He said, yeah, well, I was hoping throughout my career I'd only ever play in the Champions League. I said, there's a sign of how good a player you were. So it was a good trip. It beat hanging around at airports and going through security controls.
I can imagine.
What a life you lead. I mean, you really...
Well, it's not always like that, I promise you. I mean, any of your listeners could come along and be on some of the trips. You'll know this. Quite often it's a lot of delays, a lot of traffic jams, sitting on windy gantries with your notes blowing everywhere and the sound not working properly. But as I always say, it's better than real work.
JJ and I, we typically hide in the steerage. We'll try to sneak into someone's bag along the way and then kind of get snuck into the plane.
We never get invited anywhere. That's exceptional.
Well, Ian, this should be a lot of fun this season. really so many different talking points, so many different storylines heading into this, and we really appreciate you giving us a few minutes to go through some of them. Thanks so much, and have a good season.
And you too. Have a very good season.
Our thanks to Ian Dark.
Our thanks also to the drilling.
Incessant drilling as well for making their appearance on this podcast.
Yeah.
Great to speak with him, though. You know, I'm interested in the stuff that he said. Again, I feel like I'm stepping on what we're going to talk about tomorrow in the 20 questions. But some of the stuff with the teams coming up. I am very, very curious about history repeating. And by that I mean Aston Villa kind of adopting the Fulham model from last season. Now, I feel like, I will talk tomorrow, I do feel like they're going about it in a slightly different
and
way.
And they kind of had to. Because they had so many guys on loan last season.
Yeah.
So the incomings were partly forced upon them.
But Ian's right. I mean, it's almost a new team as they re-enter the Premier League, which can be good, but it also, as Fulham taught us last year, it can be dangerous.
I don't want to step on anything, but there's a creative hub of Hourihan, McGinn, and Grealish.
Yes.
Like, you don't want to mess too much with that.
Yeah. So our thanks again to Ian, because that was awesome, and you'll hear him on the call of many a game throughout the course of the season. That's about it for part one of our three-part preview, but like I said, we will be back tomorrow.
With even more drilling.
You can only hope.
Unbelievable.
I think it adds kind of a nice, it's like a nice tone to the podcast.
Well, it reminds me a little bit of you. Andrew, what do you think of Spurs' chances this season?
That's what you hear. It's sad. All the prep, all the work I put in, and that's all that comes out. I'm the teacher from Charlie Brown.
All there is a drilling noise.
Well, hey, this was fun. Our thanks again to Ian Dark. To you, I say...
Take you later, fun boy.
See ya.
You've been listening to the Caught Offside Soccer Podcast.